I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is still Marcus Speller. He's still called Jim Campbell. Yep. He's still called Luke Moore.
All right.
Pete Donaldson may not be called Pete Donaldson because he's not here, presumably, to change his name.
Still AWOL.
He is doing further research into his infant chip bowl helmet. Those who listened on Monday will know what I'm talking about. Those that didn't should immediately do so. Pause it now.
Yep.
Go back. Come back in a minute.
Yeah. For your own safety as much as anything.
Yeah.
What I love about stuff like that is that it's all genuinely true. That happened 2 years ago, and he didn't mention it.
It's not like he's doing it to be quirky.
No,
it's just stuff he seems to do automatically without even deliberately choosing to.
He is who he is, and that is who he will be.
A lot of Twitter action about the infant chip bowl helmet, as it forever will now be known, because that was the name in the patent application. A lot of Twitter action. One person, I forget who it was, but one person tragically pointed out that has now been developed and marketed and is being sold at a fairly decent rate. So
someone's not turned their phone off, have they?
Come on,
naughty, naughty.
But phones.
Despite that, though, we're gonna press on, and there we are.
There we go.
The alarm has finished, and we can get back in the building. Crystal Palace versus Manchester United in the FA Cup final. Pards versus Van Gaal. Mm.
It's about time we did that thing that we do around international games, where we say some people may not like the FA Cup final anymore, but we do.
We love it. We love all of it.
I don't know if anyone doesn't really like the FA Cup final.
But like the final.
Do you ever meet these people?
I meant the FA Cup, not the final.
Everyone likes the final. Yeah, go straight to it.
Let me rephrase it. Yeah, basically what you should do is a sort of an extended coefficient type system where the two top ranked teams just go straight into the final in May.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Because the amount of people, and I don't want to be sound like an old man or chastise the young of this country and beyond.
Feel free to do it.
A lot of people under the age of about 25, when there's an FA Cup weekend, they tend to moan about the absence of the Premier League. And I don't like to see it.
The Premier League's done a real number on a lot of the
It has, hasn't
people,
it?
Hasn't yeah, because now people are not liking international football, an FA Cup, and so on and so forth. But they'll like international football when the Euros come around. But a little bit more on that later.
And if they want to like the FA Cup, stay tuned. And if you don't like the FA Cup, stay tuned as to why you should.
Alan Pardew has said they'll use Leicester City as inspiration for beating Manchester United.
The man for the big occasion. ordinarily speaking, you would say, okay, Man United are a better team than Crystal Palace. Second half of the season, although they've picked up a slight, decent amount, or certainly enough to get to the final and to ensure their Premier League safety, they're not as good a team as Manchester United.
Or Leicester.
Yeah, or indeed Leicester. But the problem is, though, Jim, since you've chipped in, Alan Pardew is a man for the big game.
Absolutely. Especially for Palace. He absolutely loves it.
The big game, the big occasion.
He's trying on suit, jacket and tie combos as we speak.
What do you think he'll wear? What colour will he go for?
That's a good answer. That's a good question, sorry. I think we should check.
Navy blue, pinstripe, I'm going.
Maybe roll neck.
He's not going to go pinstripe. He's not going to go. Not even Pards would go roll neck as an Englishman. He wouldn't.
He won't go pinstripe. But I would. I would like him to go chalk stripe.
Chalk stripe.
Okay.
I'd love that. I don't think he will go pinstripe. But it's an outside bet. As you know, I like to bet low on high odds.
He could dress up like a sort of really overly enthusiastic fan. Sort of almost as if they've already won it. Like he's got a Palace shirt on himself, like an old one maybe from when he was playing with his name on it. He's got a flag, he's got like a pom-poms, everything.
Jim, I'd like him to go full-on status quo. Nicely, I mean, reasonably nice suit, but little do we all know that it's Velcroed. And if it comes to pass that Palace are able to win the FA Cup, he rips it off and he's got his exact 1990... strip on,
yeah,
the Crystal Palace one, and he can go up there as the manager and almost do like a John Terry, but in a retro way, and be there to accept the trophy with the players dressed in, as the 1990 version of Alan Partridge.
And if he did,
I almost said Alan Partridge then, strangely apt. Yeah.
And if he did that, you'd have to respect it.
You would, yeah, absolutely. Very much.
I would like to see him basically just not even watch the game because he'd be too busy celebrating the win throughout. Just like shots with a bench, just having a brilliant old time.
I mean, to be fair to him, he's got Palace to the first ever cup final since 1990.
It's fantastic. I love though what he said to motivate the players is try to play like a team who are better than you.
Well, inspiration from Leicester, or should they take inspiration from a very, very good friend of the Ramble, Doc Brown's unofficial Crystal Palace FA Cup final song?
Yeah,
wherever they can take it,
his version of "Glad All Over."
I'd like to see Alan. Picture this scene. Okay, picture this scene. The team come. I know that's traditional for the manager to lead the teams out for the FA Cup, and Van Gaal does that. And then Palace team is led out by the captain.
I thought you were going to say Doc Brown.
No, he's made a step up from leading
us out.
He's not ready for that yet. Pardew's not there. And you think, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And just about the game's about to kick off, they look down the tunnel and they see Pards sort of staggering a little bit, having a lovely old time with one of those helmets with two cans of beer with straws coming around in his mouth, just supping on them.
And a chip bowl in the middle.
Yeah. That would be lovely.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go pinstripe navy blue.
Okay. Well, we haven't got a market for that from Bet365, but if you do fancy Crystal Palace to win the FA Cup, or to win the game in 90 minutes, I suppose, the full-time result, it's 19-4. So £10 on that will return you £57.50. So that's £47.50 plus your stake.
If Manchester United won the FA Cup, would that be a good season for them? Because when Arsenal won the FA Cup and finished fourth, people saying, well, has it masked another kind of all right season for Arsenal? This one, they're fifth, they're not in the Champions League.
Yeah, I think if an FA Cup and the Champions League qualification would have been...
Yeah, you couldn't argue that that's a
minimum
bad
standard, maybe, yeah. But I think given that they've missed out, I mean, given that they failed to get the 19-goal win against Bournemouth and didn't secure fourth place...
In that weird phantom Premier League game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right, exactly. It was a bit of a... I mean, I obviously understand the reasons for it, but it was a bit of a piecemeal end to the season, which I thought was a shame, because it's great to have all the teams playing at the same time. But with the Man United thing, I know I've been a lot more positive about Van Gaal over recent weeks. And I do actually think they've played some decent football recently, certainly compared to before. And they played some nice stuff against Bournemouth, scored a lovely goal, didn't they? The Rashford step-over goal and the Rooney score. I do think he's on a hiding to nothing now, because them not being in the Champions League is not really acceptable.
One of the things you said, Luke, about Van Gaal, his time at Manchester United, that he's brought through some of the youth players who should deserve a bit of credit.
Plain sailing for him,
former Manchester United assistant manager and youth coach René Meulensteen, and I assume this is a direct pop at you using Van Gaal. He said it's a myth that Van Gaal deserves credit for bringing some of Manchester United's youth players through.
But Meulensteen's always chipping on.
Yeah, but no, it's not always, though. That's the weird thing about him. He seems to pop up out of his bunker maybe once every 6 months and take a massive broadside swipe at someone.
Especially given, Jim, that he got the nod at Fulham and did an awful job.
Yeah.
It's like...
Everyone did an awful job at Fulham, though.
Fine, but not everyone is still chipping off about managers who've been largely more successful than they have.
Okay.
You know, if Meulensteen is a great youth team coach or a great assistant coach or whatever it may be, I'm sure he is those things. Well, I think it seems a bit churlish to pipe
but
up
But he was specifically saying that the credit he's getting for the youth. He didn't say, oh, he's doing a terrible job.
But I get the impression that Van Gaal is, shall we say, at the very least, a divisive character, yes. Certainly in his homeland.
There's certainly some personal beef going on there.
But generally speaking, Dutch men in football are divisive characters.
I think Muñoz might bring out a mixtape, a diss mixtape.
Yeah,
that'd
be amazing, a Dutch mixtape. But it is a really bizarre thing, because the thing Muñoz is saying about Van Gaal and saying that he shouldn't have the credit is, you know, he's put a lot of these young players into the team, but they haven't stayed in the team, they've come in and out. But like, surely that's a good way of managing a young player. You're not just going to bomb them all straight in. I know Alex Ferguson did that with Scholes and Beckham and all that, but that was a sort of pretty much a one-off. It's fairly rare in football that you see that. Maybe the great Ajax side of the early 90s, blah blah blah, but that's a good way to manage young players, surely.
Clearly Van Gaal has given young players a chance. I mean, he factually has.
Yeah. Even if he's been forced to, he's made it work to a degree.
I think a couple of them have been forced due to injury, certainly in the fullback positions. But a couple of them, he's obviously just thought, well, I need to do something here. And this player, in my opinion, it's in terms of Rashford, I suppose, is good enough. And Rashford isn't a player who is just appearing in the right moment and in the right space.
He's a good player.
His all-round play is very good as well, isn't it? He seems to be a player. I'm not saying I think this because no one else has noticed it, but I agree that the people who have said that he seems to show maturity beyond his years with his decision making, and the way he stepped over for that Rooney goal against Bournemouth was a great example of that. He also uses the space very well, runs the channels, does all that stuff you want a striker who looks a bit older than he currently is to do. So clearly Van Gaal deserves credit for spotting that. Even if he was briefed on that by his youth team, academy director or whatever, Van Gaal's got to make the decision. But if Van Gaal makes a decision, brings that boy through and he plays four games and plays like an absolute drain, Van Gaal, you bet your bottom dollar Van Gaal's going to get criticised for that. So he deserves an amount of credit
Played him in crucial games. Away to Manchester City was an obvious one where he got the winner.
And done well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to start an FA Cup final, would you think?
Well, maybe so, Jim, maybe so. There were boos aimed at Van Gaal while he addressed the Old Trafford faithful after the Bournemouth match. He said the fans' expectations are too high while the club is in a transitional period. Is that a fair comment, or is that... is that a glorious defiance from a man again?
They were quite close to... Well, I mean, they only missed out in the Champions League by a goal difference after a season in which they put in a lot of insipid display. So, come on, it's really not that over the top for Man United fans to expect them to have been a point better.
I think that for the money they've spent for a manager who's won the Champions League and managed Bayern and Barcelona and the Dutch national side obviously quite recently, I don't think that they are too fickle for thinking a fifth place finish isn't good enough.
I think there's a kernel of truth in it, though. I think they are in a transitional period. I think that's probably fair. They probably will be. Yeah, but that still plays its part. But I do think it's, given the season that other teams have had, certainly.
But you say they're in a transition.
No, but I've just said at the top of the show, fourth place is probably the minimum standard, so he hasn't met that. But I do think it's not a case of a cut and dried situation, which a lot of fans tend to think quite binary about things. That was good, that was bad. That manager was good, that manager wasn't. There are factors, there are grey areas.
Yeah, but okay, so the transitional period chat, I mean, I do understand that, but to look at it from another point of view, how long are they going to be in this transitional period for?
Because you've had a manager for 25 years.
But that was a few seasons ago now. You've had Moyes since then. Van Gaal's had a season and he's had another season. I mean, come on, this can't be a transitional period for the next few years.
There's 22 years to go,
Chelsea are in a continual transitional period and Manchester City are by that rationale.
If you put it in context, if Van Gaal was given a three-year contract, I'm not saying he will definitely do this, but if he does see out his final year, and they improve in a big way, and the platform he's laid down, they build upon that, and they come second in the league and win something. You know, that's not a bad return for a man who's come along, not too long after a disastrous tenure from the manager before, and a guy who ran the club up and down for the best part of 25 years. The context is important, I think.
Okay.
I'm not some crazy Van Gaal apologist. He's a perfect manager, and I do understand why the fans are doing it.
Van Gaal's the crazy Van Gaal apologist.
Yeah, and he always will be.
Exactly, and we love him for that.
Yeah.
There's another cup final on the island of Great Britain happening. It's Rangers versus Hibs, the two Scottish Championship sides in the final. Hibs still not won the trophy since 1902. They've got a chance, but Mark Warburton's after his first major trophy, Jim.
You did say at the top of the season that the Scottish Championship is where it's at.
Well, it used to be.
Since the magnificent Gorby Boys.
Where was that?
Yeah. Well, maybe this is proving that you were true, just a little bit ahead of your time.
Yeah, but I mean, they leave a legacy. There's still a bit of magic dust in.
You're right, and everyone's feeding off it, right?
Clearly.
When specifically did it stop becoming the place to be, out of interest?
It was about the 20th of June last year, I think. May.
any sort of time?
I can't, off the top top of my head, the quarter to five, something
well,
like
if
that.
You do fancy Rangers to win the Scottish FA Cup or to win within 90 minutes, £10 on that returns you £18 with Bet365. So if you are a person who prefers your FA Cup's north of the border,
yeah,
take a look at that.
But it is a good
final. You must have rocks in your head if you do, but...
Or be from those local areas, because you should always support your local team.
That's true, yeah.
But it is a good final, actually, because often Celtic have, of course, been in the final and, you know, often brushed away the opposition. And when Hearts played Hibs, obviously, there was no contest there. Thank you. So when well, it Jim, wasn't, was there? 5-1,
but
Jim.
Marcus,
the facts speak them.
But Marcus, just for the listeners at home who can't see it, Jim and I had glazed over by that. Yeah. It wasn't you didn't get a response because you've done us there. We got no response. We just looked at each other, glazed over. I thought, I'll do a bit of prep for the next bit here and we'll get ready to go.
I was thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner and I've already eaten.
I was thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner and I've also already eaten.
Two dinners, Campbell Moore.
Yeah.
That's what they call you. Barcelona versus Sevilla in the
Scottish FA Cup.
That's how good Sevilla are in knockout competitions.
Is that the third place playoff?
It is, of course, in the King's Cup, the Copa del Rey. The Andalusian side beat Liverpool 3-1 to win their third successive Europa League final.
Busy game. A lot of talking points.
If Sven-Göran Eriksson was managing Liverpool for that game, what would he have said?
First half good.
Second half not so good.
Tell you what, his side would have been more defensively disciplined than that.
I found that a fascinating game to watch. I thought Liverpool were absolutely superb in the first half.
Should have got a second.
I reckon they probably should have got a third. If you take into account the disallowed goal, which is a marginal one probably.
I don't know. I think Sturridge has been daft there.
No, but if he doesn't go for it, it's a very small mistake. I'm saying on another day, he's got more of a presence of mind. That's a goal.
Right, okay.
You've got the handball, which is probably a penalty.
Which one do you mean? Because there's a couple of candidates in there. I wasn't so sure about... I'm not 100% on either, but I can certainly see both arguments. Because I don't feel the first one was necessarily that unnatural a position.
I'm talking about the
second
one's
a bit. That one I don't know about. Okay. The second one, his hand was very low to the ground. I can see why they complain about that. I can see why they complain about the first one. But
and there was another chance where Klein whipped the ball across and Sturridge was millimetres away from it. All I'm saying is they're really in the ascendancy going into the half-time break. Unai Emery is very, very clever at half-time. You see what they did in the second half where they just like blasted out the blocks, obviously got a goal. I don't know if that was necessarily in their plan to do that at that point. But then what they had done is it looked to me like they had thought, right, Liverpool's fullbacks are very, very tenacious going forward. They love to go forward, but they obviously didn't think that they could defend and they just pinned them right back. And
the space!
And those fullbacks didn't get forward for the rest of the game.
The space, well, though, that Sevilla was finding in the second half.
Well, they were rattled by Gamero's goal. Part of it probably was from the sense of frustration at having a goal allowed to you know, reasonable penalty shouts not given. Obviously that's going to get you a bit, but Klopp said after the game that they lost faith in their own style of play. They went from quick simple passing to complicated passing. They lost their formation. They just weren't compact enough, and he said he tried to change it, but you know they were just sort of in a little bit of shock. And he said that was actually the case of the crowd as well, and you could hear that. Sevilla, it was almost like a Liverpool home game, wasn't it? There were so many fans there, but it was even at 1-0 it was the Sevilla fans making all of the noise, and that is unusual from Liverpool fans.
There was apparently tens of thousands in the fans right now.
It's strange what a goal at a certain time when the flow is going a certain way in a cup final can do. You know, I mean, when Pete and I went to see Middlesbrough against Norwich in that playoff final, Norwich hit him twice, bang. And Middlesbrough, and that was early.
They couldn't react.
It's strange. It was very unlike Middlesbrough at the time. And sorry, Middlesbrough fans, to bring that up. But don't worry, you've been promoted, so you know it's all.
Now. But just to expand on what Jim says slightly, I do agree with a lot of that. I think Klopp was very slow to react. I think I'm not a tactical expert in any way, as you guys all well know, but I saw the fullbacks being pinned back in that second half, and I think Klopp was slower than I expected to react to that and to try and change up, and he did try and change up. I think he made all three subs at one point. But Jim's right about the goal sort of shocking. The Gamero goal came so quickly after the kick-off.
Just made them sloppy, didn't it?
I mean, for me, Liverpool try to play, you know, Klopp, as he says, heavy metal football, crash, bang, wallop them, just go straight at them. First half, it worked. But Sevilla, there was always a danger because they're a better footballing side. They're a better side than Liverpool, you could argue. That when they got their foot on the ball, they were always going to take over. It's a side that knows how to win a competition. But it's no disgrace.
Losing to a
side like that. But they're up against Barcelona and they've got a chance, you know, decent cup-winning side. We're going to talk more European football after this.
Watch yourself, it's a ramble, boy. Chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, cause they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's not that long until the Champions League final, the big one.
Yeah,
the Madrid derby once again.
Yeah, it's funny how it took. I think the Real Madrid Atletico Madrid final a couple of years ago was the first where the final was contested by two teams from the same city. We got it again.
Yeah,
we got it again, and I think Simeone and the Atletico Madrid team will. Of course, football doesn't work like this, but we know. I know for sure that they're going to be thinking about destiny around this.
Yeah.
Imagine. Given the manner they lost it the last time around, very dramatic, wasn't
I mean,
it?
Obviously, as you say, they're the only city, Madrid, to have two Champions League finalists. Next year could be London, Spurs, Arsenal, who knows? let's not make predictions like that too early. But Letty, they've never won.
I don't have any Bet365 finalists for that, I'm afraid.
I don't think they'd even do them.
Letty have never won Europe's top prize. They've won everything in Spain and they've won the Europa League quite recently, of course. They've even won a Cup Winners' Cup from back in the day, but never won that. And Simeone's won everything as Atleti manager, apart from the Champions League, of course. I mean, it is
so
there.
Close before. We've said this before. Imagine,
painfully close.
Imagine a Fernando Torres winner in what could possibly be his last game for Atletico, even though he's had a fantastic season, especially in the latter half.
Yeah, shame he never made the provisional Spain squad. Mm. And neither did Diego Costa, by the way.
No, that's a funny one.
Yeah, Juan Mata either. But I think Del Bosque doesn't.
Is injured as well because he's not in there.
But Diego Costa's never really done anything for Spain, has
no,
he?
And no. I think Del Bosque tried to play with a forward like Diego Costa at the last World Cup. It clearly didn't work. There were a number of reasons why Spain were poor, but I think he's gone back to pretty much a more fluid attacking system.
It's interesting. I saw Fernando Morientes tweeting about this, and I saw a number of other sort of Spain football fans who know a lot more about Spanish football than I do talking about Del Bosque. And it was very, very, not curious, but interesting to see that they had problems with the selection, right? With the squad selection, clearly in some of the things you guys have just mentioned. But it was interesting because they came from a position of, well, it's Del Bosque, he knows what he's doing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's won this.
I'm not saying he should have done this.
But it's funny. It's such a weird comparison to England, where we've never really done anything, so we're always a little bit more worried about squad selection than maybe Spain are, because or Spanish football fans are, because they think, oh, I'm not sure about that, but we'll let him get on with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, by this point,
but that's why with the England squad, I just thought, what else? Mm. I mean, okay, we could maybe have someone swap out him and him, and you change the person who's wearing the number 17 jersey.
Yeah, it's
not really.
But just to wrestle it back to the Champions League final before we go on to England, because I was interested if you guys think that Atletico will try and do the thing they like to do, where they keep things very, very tight indeed.
Of course they will. Yeah.
And if you do like the idea of them doing that, under 2.5 goals on Bet365 is 4-7, so £10 on that returns you £15.71. I think that might be the way to go.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, what they did in the previous rounds of the Cup, you know, they did this against Barcelona, for crying out loud. They actually go at them for the first 10 minutes. Yeah. And if they can nick a goal, then the job's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is that case. I mean,
they're not going to change that now.
No, I mean, they were so bitterly close, of course, in the previous final when the two teams met. But that is their style. So it's interesting for Real Madrid. How do you start the game?
But Atletico Madrid haven't been able to execute that style in the quarters or the semis. I mean, if you look at who they played...
They did against Barcelona.
Well, they did against Bayern.
Leg.
Well, it was 2-1 in the first leg, so that wouldn't be under 2.5 goals.
No, but they scored first. And then Torres got sent off.
I suppose so, yeah.
So that's where it came unstuck. So they needed damage limitation. And then in the home leg, they went up early with... Was it Griezmann who scored?
They won 2-0, didn't they?
Yeah, and they scored the second one, obviously... I can't remember when they scored the second
one. The penalty,
one.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, not too long after. And then against Bayern Munich as well, it was the case at home. They drew... they played the home game first and they went 1-0 up quite early. And that's tend to be...
I loved it in the group stage when they went away to the Kazakhstan side, Atletico Madrid, and they got a 0-0 draw. Yeah. Simeone looked inordinately happy with that. He was like, yep, happy with that.
Job done.
He got all the way to Kazakhstan. Yeah. Happy with a 0-0. Take it.
God, imagine being an away fan there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Oof, dear idea. That'd be a frustrating
trip. A long
home.
Old trip. But it'll be a good game. I love, obviously, the Champions League finals. We all do. But to see a replay of this fixture where it was settled for Real Madrid in such like dramatic circumstances. Yeah. Last time, it'd be great to see a revisit, but it'd also be great, I suppose, on one level if Real Madrid win it, because Zidane's such a novice coach, and the fact that he was this coach in waiting for such a long time, and people were like, is he going to do it? And he took the job, and I think a lot of people had doubts about his ability to
do it.
For him to lift the Champions League in his first season will be absolutely incredible.
It would be amazing. And also, and you know, as much as people dislike the man because of his undoubted hubris, Cristiano Ronaldo has been one of the greatest players the game has ever seen.
Yeah,
he deserves
sure.
to be very well decorated. So,
And he is, but he should be further decorated.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be, I think. Because, in his time at Real Madrid, Barcelona have effectively dominated La Liga in terms of wins for it. But I think Real Madrid, going back to what you were saying about how do they start the game, they'll just play their own game. They have to, don't they? They're Real Madrid.
But you
they're
say
confident.
That, because if Atletico Madrid go at them, what do Real Madrid do? If they play their own game, there's a danger that they could leave. Do Real Madrid play quite defensively for the first 10 minutes and go, right, we've snuffed that, now we've got
maybe
them.
They sort of, play on the break a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly... be the way I would have thought, but it's remarkable the season they've had, considering they sacked Rafa Benitez and they weren't doing too well, and Zidane's turned it round. I mean, they only just lost the league. I mean, it looked always like it was going to Barcelona, but looking at the points tally, it was only just they finished second above their neighbours and they're in the Champions League final.
Yeah, I mean, if at the start of the season you would say that by the end of this season Rafa Benitez would be looking well placed to win the championship next season, would not be able to unpick what that actually means.
But, do you think there's any merit in suggesting that it's a bit of a poisoned, or I guess a bit of a double-edged sword for Atletico Madrid fans, because if they do the unthinkable and lift the Champions League, Simeone might move on. He might think that's job done.
I think they would still want the win.
Oh, no, I know they would, but it would be bittersweet, is what I mean.
It would be bittersweet, but I think at this point, given how much they've won, and coming off the back of, being a team that didn't really win that much and always underachieve, it kind of be worth it, wouldn't it?
I imagine it probably would. Listen, as a Portsmouth fan, I completely agree with you.
What about this? Real Madrid player Isco...
Let's all have an Isco.
Has a family dog called Messi.
Isco. Well, maybe that's to do with other issues.
Imagine that. Oh, Isco, it's your turn to do the Real Madrid family party barbecue at your house. All right, get him over. All right, yeah, that's a nice dog. What's he called? Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I don't normally call him. I just let him get on with what he's doing.
Florentino Perez walks up with Cristiano Ronaldo. They're both having a beer. Dog comes along, sits next to him. Oh, it's a lovely dog. What's his name? Look at the collar.
Yeah.
But isn't it supposed to be a dig at Messi? That Messi's a little dog?
No. It might be, yeah.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Oh,
he was named before he was a Real Madrid player, and he said he's now distanced himself and said no, it was more my brother and my dad's idea, and then he went on to say the dog's with my parents now, I don't want him anymore. I don't walk him anymore. Imagine me calling him Messi in the street.
You can imagine Isco saying to like Florentino Perez at this imaginary barbecue that I've come up with,
hosted by Lee Sharp presumably.
It's actually pronounced Masai. Yeah, it's Masai
because he's the Messiah. What?
No,
shut
come
up.
On.
Yeah, Perez would want to put him on the barbecue.
Yeah, he would. He would. Yeah. Well, not only would he want to, he would do it.
Yeah. Without any consultation.
Yeah.
A day after the cup final, Roy's boys begin their preparation for France. England versus Turkey.
Astonishing scheduling by the people at the top of the game in this country. Astonishing. So the FA will spend quite a lot of time, I imagine, moaning about the fact that the value of the FA Cup and all this other stuff, and then they schedule this straight after it. It's ridiculous. I think, and I know this might be a bit far-fetched, but take a while to think about it. I half wonder whether that was a mistake. because it's so close to the FA Cup final. Yeah. They would have known that big
players
teams
are going to be involved.
That big teams, well, not only that, but players not, for big teams.
No, but it's not like the Champions League where you think no English players
don't
might not
that.
Be involved.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah.
And if they, yeah, exactly. But if, and if even if Manchester City get there or something, it would only be Joe Hart and Raheem Sterling, realistically, that it would affect. The two English teams will play in the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
Unless Swansea get there, of course.
So they've not thought about it.
No.
Have they? And it also stopped Jamie Vardy and Danny Drinkwater going out to Leicester's tour to Thailand.
That's yeah, right.
Which is very disappointing for them, I presume. Well, particularly for Vardy. I mean, Danny
Locals.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the locals are happy about it.
Are they? Yeah. Yeah, although, of course, the locals remember last time Leicester went there.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
God, it's quite a dangerous trip, isn't it? What if they mess everything up all over again?
So, has Ranieri got a son?
The England... imagine that. Imagine if Ranieri's son also dropped a massive clanger. They had to fire Ranieri and they got another manager and they also won the league again.
Yeah. They got Diego Simeone.
They stumbled on some formula.
That's the formula.
But on the England-Turkey thing...
Like Watford. It's
funny because it feeds back into what we were saying about Marcus Rashford like a week or two ago. Hmm. And, you know, clearly you I know, Marcus, you're certainly of the opinion that Rashford is there for the experience. He'll learn a bit about it and he won't make the squad. Mm-hmm. But given that the first friendly is the day after the cup final, Rashford's not going to feature anyway.
No.
So it's a very curious set of circumstances.
It is, but maybe looking at it another way, is it a case that it was then or never? So it's just better to have another game to try it out?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the majority of players won't be involved in the cup final.
Well, there are some more friendlies as well, of course, which he can feature in. I still think it's a strange one for... I was speaking to a guy at work today, QPR fan. Not that's not why it's relevant, but he was a big fan of Rashford. And he was saying, but what happens if Rashford plays well in the friendlies and Hodgson's made a bit of a rod for his own
back? If he plays in the friendlies.
Yeah, and he was saying, well, take him. You've got to take him. Drop one of the boring midfield players. Just take Rashford. Take him.
Mm. Walcott, again, isn't it? Slightly different because Rashford's actually played. But I don't know. It's as you say, it creates that problem. But at the same time, Roy Hodgson is old enough and wise enough and experienced enough to maybe play him do well, then not take him anyway and just go, yeah, fine. I mean, if you're England manager, it's less a poison chalice and more like a poison septic bucket of sick, isn't it? You're always going to suffer. People are always going to criticise you. So it must get to a point you just think, I don't care what people say.
And people
I want to try this.
And people
out.
Are feeding that sick to you, asking you why you don't like the taste of it.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
and then moaning that you don't like the taste of it.
But the Walcott comparison, Jim, is actually, you're actually right, because you say, oh, Walcott, but Rashford's actually played. Walcott had played. He hadn't played for England, did he? And Rashford's left.
I don't think he had, Luke. I don't think he'd actually got off Arsenal's bench at that point.
No, but he played for Southampton before.
Yeah,
no,
but in the Championship.
Yeah, but not in the Prem. I mean, Walcott was a particularly funny one. But Rooney was recently saying that, you know, if Rashford's good enough, you know, take him and he should seize his chance. I thought, do yourself out of a place, mate.
he can't, can he? He can't. He could... push Roy Hodgson's wife down an escalator and still start.
But imagine if that happened with Rooney and Rooney found himself not in the squad.
Yeah.
And then he went in to complain and Roy Hodgson just played a tape of his comments about Rashford. Your words, not mine.
And
thank you very much.
It would be a tape as well, like an old album cassette player.
It'd be real to real.
Yeah.
See that Sony Walkman over there? Yeah. Put the headphones on. Press play. Yeah. Oh, you press fast forward. No, press play.
Oh, there we go. Right, what is the bet of the week, Luke?
Yeah, we're going to go back to the FA Cup final for the bet of the week with Bet365. We all seem to think, and this came from, I think, you, Marcus, possibly you, Jim.
It was actually Jim.
Okay, Jim, saying that we think Yannick Bolasie is going to have a lovely old time in the Cup final. Mm. So we like him to score at any time within the first 90 minutes at 5-1 with Bet365.
The first 90 minutes?
So £50 returns £300, including stake and proceeds go to Prostate Cancer UK. Mm-hmm. But please remember, you must be over the age of 18 to bet and gamble responsibly. For more information on responsible gambling, go to
gambleaware.co.uk.
Right, do you want some emails?
Yes, I'd have one. Have we
squeeze,
got time?
Squeeze a few in real quick. You tell me, you're the gaffer.
No, go on then.
Okay, what have we got here? We've got one from Kieran Judge who says, hi all, having been at the bowling ground for the last West Ham game, there's a number of highlights that happened. One thing that didn't make the cut was the time in early 2014 when the marketing department gave fans the chance to chat to inconsistent midfielder with high opinion of himself, Mo Diame.
Oh, yeah.
Fans could submit questions using Twitter using the hashtag AskMo. Unfortunately, at the same time, American R&B singer Monica Brown was using the same hashtag for an online Q&A, which led to some very confusing questions being asked to Mo prior to kickoff. Highlights being how do you manage motherhood along with your career? Yeah, so those ask things on Twitter never work.
No,
they never work.
It's just an opportunity to hijack them.
Yeah. This is just a quick mention here from Dan Bright, who says, please give a mention to the Gibraltar Football Association becoming the 211th member of FIFA, which means they can go on and win the bloody thing in 2022.
That's right.
I think that's unlikely, Dan, but first step is that they're in there.
Certainly. So.
And I've got one more here. Oh, yeah, this is... I've got two more. Really quick. This is from Mark Heron, who says, the summer transfer window is almost upon us. And as Roberto Martinez and Benteke await silly money deals to take them to Chinese clubs looking to spend their John Terry slush fund, I thought I'd volunteer my services to be the Ramble's official Mandarin Chinese pronunciation guru. He says, after living in Shanghai for more than 10 years, I've seen Anelka and Drogba come, then quite quickly get the hell out of Dodge, as well as develop a knee-jerk reaction to the mispronunciation of Chinese sports personalities.
Well, you can start by telling us what Dr. Tony's surname is, who the guy's just about to take over Aston Villa.
Tony's Zha.
Is it Zha?
There you go.
Straight away, we've got a job for you.
That's your first assignment. He says, I decided it was time to take matters into my own hands when during the recent Snooker Masters coverage, I found myself screaming at John Parrott via the TV. As I remember him pronouncing Ding Jian Wei as Ding Jian Wei. Which is
not shocking.
But that's why we need a Mandarin Chinese pronunciation guru to drum out these minor issues, they become major ones. That's from Mark Heron. He says even the BBC can't get his pronunciation right. What chance has anyone else got without some friendly help from me?
There we go.
And finally, we will go to thefootballramble.com/forum. The lesser spotted forum, probably should be more spotted on this show, from Wizard, username Wizard. He says, just thought I'd give you an update of what's been happening over on the forum. This weekend saw the exciting conclusion of the Ramble versus Loro prediction game. Throughout the season, forum users have been predicting Premier League scores in an attempt to show up Mark Lawrenson as a man who doesn't know that much about football. Despite 26 forum users entering and trying their damnedest, Loro finished above all of us.
He ended
the season a full 50 points ahead of forum moderator Sidlow's caveat in second place. Say what you like about his punditry, but he certainly knows how to predict football matches. The forum is holding its head in collective shame, but we go again next season. Elsewhere, there's chat on triathlons, Eurovision, and whether Marvel films are actually any good, and forum user Caveman Ninja's incredible attempt to collect a shirt for every nation in FIFA. That's from Wizard off the forum. So if you want to check that out, a bit more detail, let's go to thefootballramble.com/forum.
He's got one more with Gibraltar now.
He has got 211 to get 211. Now, so good luck with that.
Well, there you are. If you want to check out the forum, it's at thefootballramble.com. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com or on Twitter @footballramble and all the rest of it. Thank you very much, obviously, for listening to the preview show sponsored by Bet365. We look forward to the cup final and so on. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.